This is Audible.
Audible.com and Tantor Media are pleased to present this free first chapter from Helmet for My Pillow by Robert Lecky.
Helmet for My Pillow, From Paris Island to the Pacific, by Robert Lecky. Narrated by John Allen Nelson. Copyright 1957 by Robert Hugh Lecky. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with the Bantam Dell Publishing Group, a division of Random House, Inc., and was produced in the year 2010 by Tantor Media, Incorporated, which holds the copyright thereto. 1. Boot. 1. A cutting wind slanted up Church Street in the cheerless dawn of January 5, 1942. That day I departed for the United States Marines. The war with Japan was not yet 4 weeks old. Wake Island had fallen. Pearl Harbor was a real tragedy, a burning, bitter humiliation. Hastily composed war songs were on the lips of everyone, their heavy patriotism failing to compensate for what they lacked in tune and spirit. Hysteria seemed to crouch behind all eyes. But none of this meant much to me. I was aware of my father beside me, bending into the wind with me. I could feel the wound in my lower regions, still fresh, still sore. The sutures had been removed a few days earlier. I had sought to enlist the day after Pearl Harbor, but the Marines had insisted that I be circumcised. It cost me $100, although I am not sure to this day whether I paid the doctor or not. But I am certain that few young men went off to war in that fateful time so marked. We had come across the Jersey Meadows, riding the Erie commuter line, and then on the ferry over the Hudson River to downtown New York. Breakfast at home had been subdued. My mother was up and about. She did not cry. It was not a heart-rending leave-taking, nor was it brave, resolute, any of those words that fail to describe the thing. It was like so much else in this war that was to produce unbounded heroism, yet not a single stirring song. It was resigned. She followed me to the door with sad eyes and said, "God keep you." It had been a silent trip across the meadows, and it was a wordless goodbye in front of the bronze revolving doors at 90 Church Street. My father embraced me quickly, and just as quickly averted his face and left. The Irish doorman measured me and smiled. I went inside and joined the United States Marines. The captain who swore us in reduced the ceremony to a jumble. We all held up our hands. We put them down when he lowered his. That way, we guessed we were Marines. The master gunnery sergeant who became our momentary shepherd made the fact plainer to us. Those rich, mellow, blasphemous oaths that were to become so familiar to me flowed from his lips with the consummate ease of one who had spent a lifetime in vituperation. I would meet his masters later. Presently, as he herded us across the river to Hoboken and the waiting train, he seemed to be beyond comparison. But he was gentle and kind enough when he said goodbye to the 30 or 40 of us who boarded the train. He stood at the head of our railroad car, a man of middle age, slender, and of a grace that was on the verge of being ruined by a potbelly. He wore the Marine dress blues. Over this was the regulation tight-fitting overcoat of forest green. Green and blue has always seemed to me an odd combination of colors, and it seemed especially so then. The gaudy dark and light blue of the Marine dress sheathed in sedate and soothing green. "Where you are going, it will not be easy," the gunnery sergeant said. "When you get to Paris Island, you'll find things plenty different from civilian life. You won't like it. You'll think they're overdoing things. You'll think they're stupid. You'll think they're the cruelest, rottenest bunch of men you ever ran into. I'm going to tell you one thing. You'll be wrong. If you want to save yourself plenty of heartache, you'll listen to me right now. You'll do everything they tell you, and you'll keep your big mouth shut." He could not help grinning at the end. No group of men ever had a saner counselor, and he knew it. But he could not help grinning.